here. Maybe over in our fellowship hall, we're going to kind of meet together and go out and visit the homes where these gifts are going to be taken. And there will be deliveries made into the homes. And we're going to be going out around 5 o'clock that day. And it's a good opportunity to witness. And it's a good opportunity to invite some folks to church. And then we can all meet together afterwards about 7 o'clock at the steakhouse down in Spruce Pine to discuss our visits of you going out in the community. And you may say, I don't know how that'll turn out. Let me tell you. My dad's church, they were going to go to all 50 states. And they were going to go to the Capitol building and pray in all 50 states, Capitol buildings, taking their Bibles even. And you ought to heard the reports they brought back to the church when different folks went to different states. And I'll be honest, when I heard we were going to do that, I was the first person to say, we can't go to all 50 states. This is an impossible project. But do you know what happened when we got that accomplished? The very first Sunday when we finished, God saved 50 on Sunday morning. We went to 50 states. He saved 50 souls. You may say it don't work like that, preacher. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Our God will bless us. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Sister Maddie's going to begin this morning and sing as soon as we finish prayer. If you would stand. Lord, I want to thank you this morning that you've allowed us to meet together to worship you. God, I pray for the children that will be gathering to present this morning. I pray, God, you'd bless them and bless all those that are helping with them. God, I pray you'd bless the youth choir as they stand to sing in just a few minutes. And I pray for Sister Maddie as she stands to sing. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for what you've been accomplishing around here. The souls you've saved this last year, it's been wonderful. God, there's many folks today that are sick. God, there's folks in our area, folks that are out of our area. God, we thank you for what you do. And I pray, God, you continue to bless them and strengthen them and bring healing to their bodies. Lord, I thank you specifically. I think about Brother Keith McKinney. He's able to be here today. Hallelujah for that. God, this time last week, he's laying flat on his back in a hospital bed with a pretty massive heart attack. But God, you saw fit to allow him to be back in the house of God today. Lord, I pray, Father, you'd continue to bless Brother Clay Dale down in South Carolina in the hospital down in Charleston. And God, I pray this morning for the Shuford family that God, that you would comfort them. Father, you know their specific needs today. I think about Miss Sandy Hall up in Chicago, Lord. I pray you'd just go and minister to her today. Father, you know her needs. God, I pray for all these who's had tonsil surgeries and Miss Candace Washburn, who's had surgery upon her Achilles tendon again. And I pray, God, you just continue to work. There's so many needs today, so many financial needs. Many people are depressed and despondent. God, I pray that this season will be a season of encouragement for their hearts. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning, Sister Maddie.
Deep in the night child.
Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles with us this morning to the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter. Brother Shane Gunner asked me last night, that might have been what messed me up, I don't know. He said, "Preacher, what you going to preach on in the morning?" I said, "I feel led to preach on the shepherds in the morning." And I said, "Brother Shane, what are you going to preach on?" He started telling me what he was going to preach on. And I should have never told him what I was going to preach, because I've evidently told him a lie. Because when I got home last night and the Lord just kept bringing me back over the scenes of the play last night, the Lord began to deal with me about these verses in this chapter. This is something that I wrote a long time ago, and I've actually shared it before, but God so moved on me last night to read this again today or share it with you. And I would like to ask you if you would stand again with me this morning as we look in 1 Peter. I know it's a little strange scripture for Christmas. I told the superintendent this morning, I said, "Don't you read my scripture for superintendent. You let me preach it in a minute." I said, "You got 60-some-odd books of the Bible you can pick from. Let me read my scripture. Don't read it for me, okay?" He laughed. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I want to begin in verse number 3. "Blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ, Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." He lays all these verses out about our salvation and the sufferings of Christ upon the cross and His burial and His resurrection. And he comes all the way down and talks about the prophets which declared this before it ever happened, and those of us who have been called to preach it even now. But the Bible makes a statement in verse 12 at the end of the verse, which things the angels desire to look into. They don't understand salvation. They don't know what it's like to be lost, to be on our way to hell, and to have Jesus die for us, and to know that we can bow and call on His name and He'd save our sin-sick soul. There's nothing like that. But the angels, they don't understand it. They stand in amazement. I sometimes wonder when we're in services here. I know the Lord said, "Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst." Amen. He's here today. But I wonder if there's not angels that's dispatched from glory that stand all around. And a lot of times I wonder if they stand there with their wings drawn back, watching y'all, trying to understand why you rejoice. And why you throw your hands up. And why you say, "Amen." They don't understand all that. There's a lot of things the angels don't understand. And this morning we want to think on this thought. The things the angels desire to look into. Father, we thank you that you allowed us to read a portion of your word. I pray, God, you'd help us today. Give us the power of the Spirit of God. Touch some sin-sick soul today. Save them, I ask. Take someone today that's discouraged and encouraged their heart. Take somebody today, Lord, that's just ready about to shout. Help them to do so. Lord, we pray you'd set us at liberty today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. There was that moment in eternity past when the great three in one, they counseled together for the creation of this world which you and I live in. God, knowing all things and looking ahead in time, foresaw that His creation of man would fall prey to sin. God's law would require that innocent blood would have to be sacrificed for the remission of man's sin, thus allowing the sins of mankind to be forgiven. As the angels were there that day, they looked on and they saw this meeting taking place. The angels began to wonder what manner of discussion was taking place. And they overheard the Son of God say, without hesitation, "Yes, Father, I'll go." A period of time elapses. But in the eternity of heaven, time seems to pass so swiftly. The angels of glory watch Jesus leave His throne and disrobe Himself of His glory to prepare to come and live upon this earth. The angels again wonder, what is the meaning of this? Jesus is about to do what has never been done before. These are the things the angels desire to look into. If you take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 1, verse number 28, God begins to beckon His angels around. And He looks to Gabriel, the angel, and He says, "Here, Gabriel, take this message to a young virgin by the name of Mary." So Gabriel, the angel, leaves the splendor of heaven and flies down to this earth, and he sees Mary, and he comes to her with this message and says, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Well, again to the angel of the Lord, God the Father speaks. And He says, "I want you to come here and take a message down to a young man by the name of Joseph." So the angel leaves the throne of glory and flies down to this earth. And as the Scripture records in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, time begins to pass, and we pick up some scripture in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, God speaks again to the angel of the Lord, and he sends him out to the Judean hillside, over to a group of shepherds that were watching over their sheep by night. So the angel of the Lord makes his way with a great heavenly host to that great Judean hillside, and he brings a message from the lips of Almighty God down to the lowly shepherd. And he says to them, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel of the Lord said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. All the angels have gathered back in glory, and they wonder what kind of message that the earth is receiving. And that wonderful night, as all of heaven's host stood watching, watch them as they stand in amazement. Here is God in the form of a man. God wrapped up in a baby skin. These are the things the angels desire to look into. During his earthly ministry, all that could be said about Jesus was that he went about doing good. God gave charge to the angels to watch over him and observe him. They saw him, how he reached out and healed the deaf, how he touched the dumb man and made him to speak, how he caused the lame man to be able to stand and walk, how he caused the blind man to be able to see. Yes, the angels watched as Jesus did the unthinkable, and he even raised the dead back to life. This man Jesus, he would go around and forgive sins, while the devil and all of his demons, they hated the Savior. They would even try to cause Jesus or tempt Jesus to sin. Yet Jesus lived a sinless, spotless life before man and God his Father. Jesus' ministry was one of love, yet there were so many that hated him. And the angels were concerned that man or demon would try to harm the Lord Jesus. And the angels could not believe how, when they stood on the streets and up on the hillsides, how this old world treated their prince. Jesus was run out of town. He was ridiculed and he was rejected. And the angels knew who this was. He's the King of Glory. How could man treat him so? Well, the time even came when God the Father allowed the angels to just become completely helpless. God told them to allow a bloodthirsty mob to lead Jesus away one night. As the angels looked on helpless, they heard the men bear false accusation. The angels saw how Jesus was beaten, how the King of Glory was spit upon, how he was slapped through the face and so spitefully treated. One angel looked back to God the Father and said, "God, can we go get him and just bring him home?" God says, "No, this is my will being carried out." At this moment, heaven seems as brass. Only silence can be found. The angels stand in silence and in amazement. Their King, the Son of God, Jesus, is being led up Calvary's hill. He submits himself to death. Death by a cruel, rugged cross. Upon that cross, Jesus suffered agony. He shed his own blood. The angels begged God the Father to allow them to take Jesus from that old cross. But God said, "No, I will not allow this." The angels hear Jesus cry with a loud voice, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. And on that old rugged cross, he died. Their wings are now lowered. Their hearts are no longer strumming a jubilant tune anymore. Mere silence is heard all over the land. Their prince that they so have worshipped is gone. The angels look on with tears in their eyes. And they do not understand. Why did Jesus, our King, have to die? These are the things the angels desire to look into. At Jesus' death, and over the period of just a few days, the devil thinks he has Jesus bound forever in a grave. The devil and the demons, they begin to celebrate. The Roman government and the entire world thought surely this was the end of this man named Jesus. But on the third day, suddenly there was a great earthquake. And the angel, on assignment from God, he descends from heaven. And the soldiers that surround the tomb fall as dead men at the sight of such a being. The angel looks at the tomb, and the stone lays sealed. This angel knows what he must do. He places his hands upon the stone and rolls it away. And he assumes a position upon the rock. Coming down the trail is a group of women. As they approach the tomb, the angel notices their astonishment. The women notice the stone has been rolled away and has an angel seated upon that stone. The angel says to the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." After the angel spoke this, he returns home to heaven. As he entered into heaven, he cries with a loud cry, "The Lord is alive, and he's coming home. The Lord is coming home." And about this time, Jesus, with his own blood, ascends to the mercy seat in heaven. And there, he sprinkles the blood as an eternal atonement for all of man's sin. You see, judgment has cried out death, but the blood now cries out mercy, mercy. Jesus then returns to this earth, now with a glorified body. And he is seen by his disciples and many others for a period of 40 days. Then from the Mount of Olives, with the disciples looking on, Jesus ascends into heaven. And the angel said, "This same Jesus, which was taken, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." He enters into glory. The angels, on bended knee and folded wing, honor their Savior's arrival. One angel spoke to him and said, What are these wounds? They were not here, sir, when you left. Jesus announces to all of heaven, I have paid the price for mankind. As the angels hear this great proclamation, they wondered, what does all of this mean? These are the things the angels desire to look into. Jesus assumes His place at the right hand of God the Father, and the angels continue as always from eternity past to praise the great three in one. You see, they fly around His throne and they cry, Holy! 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 The angels now seem to always notice that Jesus seems to be listening to someone other than themselves. And then they notice Jesus speak to the Father about what He has heard. They notice frequently that Jesus is showing the Father His side, His feet, and His hands to the Father. But for some reason, Jesus speaks about His blood that's still upon the mercy seat. The angels' praises are interrupted as Jesus calls all the inhabitants of heaven and says, right here is another whosoever will coming home. The angels watch as all of heaven begins to rejoice even greater than they did before. One man looks out over the banister of glory and says, that whosoever will that just got saved on earth, that's my boy. When I died and I was called home to heaven, my boy was unsaved. But I prayed for him before I left. And my God is still answering my prayers even though I'm now in glory. Praise the name of Jesus. My boy is coming home. Jesus again calls the inhabitants of heaven. And He says, here's another name that's being recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And a lady shouts, hey, that name that was just recorded, that's my husband's name. You see, my husband, when I left, was unsaved. But glory be to God, he's just been saved. And my husband's on his way to heaven now. And he's going to live with me forever. She shouts to a bystander, worthy is the Lamb of God. You see, friends, in heaven, it's like that all the time. And the angels, they stand at attention. And they watch. And they hear all this rejoicing taking place in their presence over sinners being saved. And the angels hardly understand. These are the things the angels desire to look into. As the great joy continues, one angel notices God the Father tell His Son, Son, it's time. Jesus stands and steps forth. A great trumpet has sounded, and His voice cries out, children, it's time. Come on home. All of heaven is prepared. It's time. The streets of glory are lined with the people in anticipation. The great time has arrived. The graves on earth have given way to victory. Those that are alive are raptured home, and God's children receive a glorified body. Heaven's cry runs through the street and announces, they're here! They're here! And the angels watch intently as a vast number of people from every walk of life, a number that's innumerable, all these robed in white come forth, and the crier stops and announces, this is the Lord's bride. These are they whom certain angels have been guarding every day. These are they for whom great joy in heaven broke out. And guess what? I am in that number, and you are in that number. Amen. These are the very elect of Almighty God. These are they for who Christ died for. These are they who He was wounded for and shed His life blood. All the angels can do is watch the greatest event in all of heaven and in all of eternity is taking place. The wedding that heaven has been preparing for all eternity between Christ and His bride is taking place. Oh, what beauty! The marriage supper is then served. A table as far as the eye can see. What a moment! And then after supper, all gather around the throne and a great chorus breaks out. They're singing the chorus of the redeemed and it echoes throughout all of heaven. It is a song the angels cannot sing and they must hold silence to. These are the things the angels desire to look into. And as the greatest celebration continues and the angels continue to look on, one angel looks to another and stands to his feet, folding back his wings and shouts, "Worthy is the Lamb! Worthy is the Lamb!" Another shouts, "Glory!" Another shouts, "Hallelujah!" Another shouts, "Amen! Amen!" And at once the great angel band with the heavenly host, 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands break out in a chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb." Hey church, I say to you this morning, He is worthy. So may I say to you this morning, when times get hard, when the road gets rough and seems so bumpy at times, when it seems cold and it feels like the fire inside of you is just about to go out or has got real low, and when the devil and all of hell starts breathing down your neck, just think that what you and I have is rare. God's salvation, God's grace, and God's mercy. It's a mystery to me. But you and I today, the redeemed, we've got something the angels desire to look into. And that is saved by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah to God. You stand to your feet this morning. I wonder now, with your head bowed, nobody looking, I wonder if there's somebody here to say, "Preacher, I just want to worship Him today. Boy, the way He was willing to come and leave the splendor of heaven and to give His life for me on a cruel tree, and the angels desire to look into it. What I've got is so valuable. I just want to bow on my knees and I want to worship Jesus this morning. I want to take time to thank Him for His life. I want to take time to thank Him for His love, for His mercy. I want to thank Him for what I have today. It's rare, and yes, the angels don't understand it, and I hardly do, but I love Him, and I thank Him for all He's done, and I want to bow just a few days before Christmas at an old-fashioned altar and say, Jesus, I love You, and I thank You for leaving the splendor of heaven to come to this earth to bleed and die and suffer in my place. And Lord, I'm not worthy to be saved, but I sure am thankful for what You've given me. Oh, what a Savior You are. Would you come this morning as we pray together? Has God spoken to your heart, friend? Would you come today? Boy, preacher, I've got a need and I've got a worry and I've got a concern. Oh, let me tell you what. You may have those things, but if you'll bring them to Jesus, He'll make the difference in your life. And I'm telling you, listen, listen. He has brought to you a message this morning that is the greatest thing you and I could ever receive. And that is Jesus. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that He is mine this morning. Fathers, we bow in Your presence. We do thank You, Lord Jesus, this morning for salvation. God, we thank You for the angels stand. They desire to look into salvation. They don't understand, Father, why Jesus died. They don't understand why He had to go through what He went through. Lord, this morning I know it was because of my sin. It was me that caused Him to come and give His life and die. It was His love for me. Lord, I want You to know this morning, God, from the depths of my heart, I love You. I thank You for the life You've given me. I thank You, Father, for salvation. I thank You for a great Holy Ghost that lives inside of us, Father. That's a witness. That's a guarantee. I thank You, Lord, that I'm sealed. Lord, I thank You for the fact that I'm on the way to heaven. And one of these days, God, it's going to be reality. Woo! Lord of God. And as I bow that place, I'm going to look around at all these marvelous wonders. All the street is made of gold. Woo! And I see mansions and loved ones coming home. Lord, I'm going to see all these things. And I see the angels with their wings on back.
people, but most of all, Lord, I want to see Jesus. I want to bow myself to our feet. And I want to thank you and worship forever. Lord, it's you. You are the reason this morning that I'm saved. And you're the reason that we celebrate Christmas. And I pray, God, you bless this church to do so. God, we thank you. As all the angels this morning said to teach us, there's a great number of people, humans, God, that have designed this morning. They're going to bow and worship you. And this morning, the angels probably gather around, desiring to look into what we have. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you've done. I love the Lord Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! Bless His holy name. I don't know. Rock cried out for me, and the angel surely can't do it. Amen. He don't know why I'm crying out. I bless His holy name. Thank you, Lord. Please remember tonight, Christmas play will be presented in the Austin Center at 6 o'clock. Please remember that. Also want you to remember that the cast of the play, we thank you so much for all the time you've sacrificed. Need y'all to be here tonight at 5 o'clock. That would just be wonderful. Give us time to get everything set up and go through everything again and have prayer together. Play starts at 6 o'clock. We thank you so much for the Christmas gift from the church. Glory to God, thank you for that. But if I could have anything, I'd rather you be obedient to the Lord. That'd be the thing I desire. If you want to give me anything, would you be obedient to Jesus Christ and follow Him? That's all that matters. I got a card I do want to read. It says, to all our church family, may all of you have a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. We love you all and our prayers are with you. Love, Will and Ann Miller. We thank you for that pretty card, Brother Will and Sister Ann. Thank you so much. And if I think Anita says she's got some cards to deliver this morning. So if you got Christmas cards, she needs a few minutes, if you would. Come by, see her, help her to deliver these. She's running every which way. She's worked so hard. Might be some of y'all jump up over there and help her this morning. Give out some cards. There you go.